Oh. Good evening and good afternoon. Welcome to our class, Freedom, Ecstasy, and Awakening, Meditations on the Vijnana Bhairava, the Realization of Divine Wisdom. I'm so pleased to be with you this afternoon or this evening, depending on what part of the world you're in. And for some of you, of course, it's morning. So welcome to everyone who's live on the call, and welcome to all of you who are tuning in later on today or in the days to come. We are here now entering into the Sangam of our Vijnana Bhairava practice, and that Sangam will be dynamic and powerful for all of us throughout this three-week time together. And truly, whenever any of us tune in to the calls, whether they're on, whether you're experiencing them as downloads, or whether you're live. And also, the energy of the Sangam will be available to you whenever you're practicing on your own. So, as we've said many times before, Vijnana Bhairava is a text of meditation. Bhairava is a name for the all-pervading consciousness that some of us call God or Brahman or Tao or Shiva or Allah or Goddess. Bhairava is that pure consciousness who takes form as the fiercest teacher, the guru whose compassion takes the form of penetrating wisdom. That is, that aspect of the divine whose intention is to open our consciousness all the way, to help us, to show us, to prompt us, to nudge us into recognizing what we are beyond the veils of the mind and ego. And Vijnana literally means realization or experiential wisdom. So What is very important to understand about this text and about the practice that we do here as we unfold the text and as we unfold the practices within it is that these practices themselves contain the intention for realization of Bhairava, of the Supreme Guru himself. So, in other words, this text is a guru. It holds inside it the grace-bestowing power of the Supreme Reality, which is one reason why this text has been so beloved over the centuries by teachers and disciples. The Vijnana Bhairava is about 1,500 years old. Perhaps the teachings in it are older. And it's offered as a transmission of awareness and truth that remains alive in every century and through every lineage. So it really comes from the secret heart of the universe and opens that secret heart, which is our own heart and which is the heart of God, and which is that place where all hearts come into tune with each other. So let me just say a few kind of housekeeping details. First of all, there is a transcript that you can download from the class website in which I describe the origin of the text and some of the basics of how it's been transmitted to us. And this is for those of you who either didn't take the first two classes, the first two teleclass series on the Vijnana Bhairava, or who haven't heard the CD, Doorways to the Infinite. So the transcript will give you the fundamental background that you need for understanding the context. I will also be referring to it. So this class is very much standalone. In other words, you can enter into it as though you are entering the Vijnana Bhairava for the first time. And if you are actually entering the Vijnana Bhairava for the first time, the power of the practice and of the deep spiritually alive conversation that's at the heart of the transmission will also be very, very available to you. That said, if you are interested in some of the practices that we won't be doing in this class because we have done them before, you're very welcome to listen to them on my CD, Doorways to the Infinite, or to download one of the actual classes through the website, through my website. So another piece that I'd like to point out to you is that the classes that we do here together are one very important and crucial part of the practice that we're doing together, but another part of it is your own practice. And as we'll be seeing later on, part of the power of the Vijnana Bhairava is that not only does it offer us internal meditation practices, practices that we do with our eyes closed, in, you know, kind of official seated meditation sessions, it's also offers us a path for what I like to call walking around practices. That is, practices that we can do while we're washing dishes, while we're on our way to the store, while we're walking through the store, while we're eating, while we're having a fight with our brother or our husband or our friend. Literally, there is a practice in the Vijnana Bhairava for working with every extreme situation that you might find yourself in, and also for finding transcendent divine bliss in the midst of what we might consider ordinary pleasures. So it really is a text that is kind of perfectly appropriate for busy people in today's world. You can really enter it from any point because it's, aside from being a dialogue about meditation, and it is one of the great dialogues about meditation, in which Bhairava, the masculine form of the Supreme Consciousness, offers to his beloved consort, who is actually his inseparable energy, the Devi or Shakti, He offers her a series of meditation techniques for opening your garden variety awareness to its most expansive state. And also, as we said earlier, it's a manual for making every moment in your life an opportunity for tuning into the divine fullness that lives inside every atom of the universe, and especially inside your body and mind and awareness, but also in those, let's call them objects of awareness that we ordinarily think of as being outside us. Because the most foundational understanding of the Vijnana Bhairava and of the Tantra in general is the understanding that there is no such thing as inside or outside. Everything in this universe, Bhairava tells us, is interior, is part of our own consciousness, is part of the consciousness that is the absolute fullness within which universes arise. Since at least the 10th century, teachers in the tantric lineages have been teaching these techniques to advanced students. The text itself seems to have been written down in the 6th and 7th centuries, and has been practiced in was practiced in these very small esoteric lineages for several centuries before it began to be offered to in a more let's call it public way. What's also remarkable about the Vijnana Bhairava, however, and about the tradition that it's a part of, is that what it holds is an attitude towards the self, an attitude towards consciousness that recognizes the fact that many, many practitioners, people like you and I, have actually discovered pieces of this wisdom, pieces of these practices spontaneously on our own, in our own meditation. For example, my own experience with many of the practices here is that because they do come from the heart of reality, because they come from inside consciousness itself, that when you meditate regularly and when you meditate seriously, you will start to receive what I call spontaneous suggestions or directions that come from inside, that arise in meditation. And, you know, for instance, you might be doing your normal routine meditation, counting breaths or noting your thoughts or breathing with a mantra, doing a visualization, whatever you do, whatever you've been taught, whatever your so-called official practice is. And then slowly from inside, you'll begin to notice a transformative experience. In other words, you might become aware that there's a spaciousness that's arisen at the end of the breath, and even that the breath has stopped, and feel guided to explore that spaciousness. Or you might find that your attention has spontaneously begun to rise up through the center of the body and focus itself perhaps in the middle of the head, or even above the head, or in the heart, or in another part of the body, and that as your awareness spontaneously comes into one of those inner spaces, you realize that there is a kind of expansion of consciousness that is happening spontaneously. Or, you know, for instance, your eyes might be open, and you might be, say, looking at the tree outside your window and watching the tree swaying in the breeze, and feel your mind just naturally becoming still and open as you recognize the subtle connection between your own life force and the life inside the tree. Or you might be looking at the sky, and this I think has happened to many of us, especially as children, but also in our lives as adults, you might be looking at the sky and suddenly you realize that your mind is opened and there's this tremendous spaciousness that you're aware of. And what we discover from reading the Vijnana Bhairava, from practicing with the Vijnana Bhairava, is that all of these experiences which we might have spontaneously are actually practices for enlightenment. They are experiences that the awake soul, and that means course of life, and that we then use, as Bhairava explains to Bhairavi, that we then use as deliberate practices to make our day-to-day lives really, literally irradiated with experience. So these radical open-eyed practices, as well as the rather esoteric closed-eyed yogic practices that are part of this text, begin to show us that there is actually a natural meditative wisdom, a natural awake wisdom that's available to us all the time, not just in our closed-eyed moments, but literally at every moment. And that is actually the Vijnana Bhairava, the awakened wisdom that Bhairava wants to reveal to us. So, most of you know, most of you are aware that the meditations here include some quite precise, proper, and indeed, in some cases, quite esoteric yogic techniques, using breath, mantra, visualization. Some of them are quite advanced. Some of them are even kind of difficult. But they also include all sorts of methods. The text calls them dharanas. Dharana meaning concentration or centering technique that let you come into the experience of pure consciousness in ordinary activities, for instance, when you're sitting in a moving vehicle or when you notice your mind slowing down between one thought and another, or in the space that opens up between the first moment when you come out of sleep and the full waking up, or just looking into the space in front of you, which is one of my favorite practices. I do it every morning. Looking into the space in front of me and noticing that there are patterns of light and shadow that are being created on the floor in my room by the sun coming through the trees. Or remembering an intense moment of sexual arousal. Or listening to music and noticing that you're falling into a state of awareness between one note and another. So all of these moments, the text will tell us, are ways of tuning into the divine, which is always lurking underneath every moment of our experience. There's a wonderful text called the Tripura Rahasya, which actually means the secret of Shakti. That's another tantric wisdom text, and it says here that the lives of human beings are irradiated with moments of fleeting samadhi, that is, moments of intense immersion in awakened states, and that most of us, most of the time, kind of pass by those moments. We aren't able to really tune into those moments because we don't know to we don't recognize and we don't realize that they're actually moments when we are being immersed in God consciousness, even in the middle of ordinary life. So essentially what the Vijnana Bhairava does is train us to notice them and even to begin to live in them, to begin to become very familiar with them. So, welcome once again. We'll begin, or let's say we'll continue in the traditional way by invoking the Guru, the great wisdom teacher who is transmitting this wisdom to us. You know, in Tantra, there's always a Guru who is the source of wisdom, because the ability to open and expand consciousness comes to us most easily through transmission. And traditionally, in fact, the guru who transmits the wisdom, no matter what form that transmission may come in, is actually the vast, mysterious presence that we call God, or in our tradition, Shiva. So the gurus of the tantric lineage, the different tantric lineages, and the teachers who come from those lineages, who teach that wisdom, who transmit that wisdom, are always in some way acting as channels or vehicles for the great guru, for Shiva Bhairava, who is the real source of all this. You know, one of the most significant tantric teachings is that the teacher, the guru, the true guru, is the actual direct grace bestowing power of the divine. So whatever opening or awakening or transmitted wisdom we experience actually comes to us directly from that source, that great source. So when we do this practice that we're about to do, we're going to chant the opening verses that I usually like to do at the beginning of classes, which invoke Shiva as the guru. We're going to chant in a moment those verses, but we're going to begin by actually summoning the form of Bhairava, the form of Shiva, the Lord of Yogis, and also invoking his formless presence. The words of the mantras are on the course website for those of you who don't know them, and we're going to be chanting them with Krishna Das, whose voice is so filled with devotion that we can experience the energy inside these mantras just by listening. But before we chant, I would like to invoke with you the power of that being who, according to tradition, is the original transmitter, teacher of these extraordinary meditation techniques. So you can begin by finding yourself a comfortable upright posture. Whether you're sitting on a chair or sitting on a cushion on the floor, the important thing, as most of you know, is to have your back straight so that the energy can flow easily up and down your spine, and so that the energy that we're invoking in this meditation can really begin to come to you as you approach the practice in your most open and alert form. You can imagine that you're seated on the mountain that's known as Mount Kailas in the Himalayas, that you can see in front of you, or imagine in front of you, snow-capped mountains extending into the horizon. But you yourself are sitting in a grove, a very beautiful, very benign grove. It's summer, so there's grass on the ground. Trees are in blossom. And as you sit with your eyes closed, you inhale and feel the connection of your body to the earth, to this very sacred earth, because you are sitting on a sacred mountain. And begin to feel the presence of the slender thread of awareness that runs through the center of the body, from the base of the spine up to the crown of the head, just as the physical spinal column supports your body from the bottom of the torso up through the crown. This slender channel in the subtle body supports the field of your soul, the field of your subtle body. And you can begin by connecting to that subtle presence, that subtle channel through the breath. Sense the breath now flowing down the back of your body with the inhalation, from the crown to the base. And with the exhalation, sense the breath flowing up the front of the body from the base to the crown. And just allow yourself to tune into the breath, not trying to make the breath go faster or slower. Just sensing that there is this channel that runs up and down the body, and that you can begin to tune into it through the breath. And and feeling the flow of the breath naturally in and down and out and up. Let go of any attempt to make the breath go deeper and become aware that seated in front of you, facing you, is the figure of a magnificent yogi in meditation. I'm going to describe him visually, but you don't have to visualize him in order to sense his presence. You can simply bring your awareness gently into attunement with the sense of this infinitely still and powerful being who is the form of Shiva as the Lord of Yoga, as the Guru. The body of this being has the perfect muscular tone of a practice yogi. He's broad-chested, with smooth skin. His features are chiseled, his eyes are closed, and in the center of his forehead is an open, blazing third eye, which literally emanates light. He wears his hair in matted dreads piled on the top of his head in a top knot, and in his hair is a luminous crescent moon. And as you look at his form, you realize that a magnificent cobra is twined around his chest with its hood rising over his head. This being, as Shiva, the Lord of Yoga, wears a tiger skin around his waist. And as you sense his presence, you feel the stillness that emanates from him. You feel a kind of transcendent blissfulness that flows as a kind of transparent luminosity between you and him. And let your attention now flow into the region of your heart behind the breastbone. And be aware that as you inhale, your inhalation draws in the blessings and radiance of Shiva, of Bhairava, the Guru who transmits the timeless wisdom that is the very heart of yogic practice. Breathing in Shiva's blessing, let your exhalation release the residue of your day, the worries, the mundane concerns that you may have in your life, any nervousness or fear or hesitation, any anxiety, any numbness. Just feel that all of this is being breathed into him, being received by him. And very slowly and gradually allow the connection to flow between you with the breath, breathing in his blessing through the heart and breathing out anything that causes anxiety or separation. And with your awareness flowing from your inner heart to the heart of Shiva, we'll chant the mantras. Om Namah Shivaya Gurave Satchita Ananda Murtaye Nishprapanchaya Shantaya Niralambaya Tejase, which translate as salutations to Shiva, the Guru, the inner teacher, who has, through many lifetimes, invited us into the experience of the fully awakened heart. His nature is of the form of pure being, pure consciousness, pure awareness, and absolute bliss. He is light, He is peace. He is without support, and He's always supporting us. Om Namah Shivaya Gurave Satchitananda Murtaye Nishprapanchaya Shantaya Niralambaya Tejase Om Namah Shivaya Gurave Satchitananda Murtaye Nishprapanchaya Shantaya Niralambaya Tejase Om Namah Shivaya Gurave Satchitananda Murtaye Nishprapanchaya Shantaya Niralambaya Tejase. Continue to sit with the sense of Shiva's presence, to breathe in the energy of Shiva through the heart. And with that sense of presence, offer your practice this evening with the thought that whatever we experience, whatever we learn, whatever opens for us, be offered for the sake of all beings and for the earth. I want to say something in tonight's class about the tantric tradition in general, because the Vijnana Bhairava is such a core text of tantra, and because it's so much at the heart of what this tradition has to offer us, I would like to just take a few minutes and put it into context. You know, the word tantra, as is often the case in Sanskrit, has a number of meanings, and one of its meanings is method or rule. So, in other words, it's a tantra is a methodology. Another meaning of the word is text. So, the tantras are actually a group of texts that give practices and techniques or methods for achieving mastery over your inner and outer world, and also for recognizing the truth about the world. So the Vijnana Bhairava is one of this group of texts. Its full name is Vijnana Bhairava Tantra, but it's an esoteric meaning of the word tantra. has been derived from the etymology of the word and its Sanskrit roots. So the root tun means to expand or to propagate, and the word tra, the syllable tra, means to save or protect. So when you put these two syllables together, what you get is that Tantra is a teaching that expands the wisdom that saves us. And this is really a very, very important thing to understand about the intention behind the Vijnana Bhairava. What does it save us from? It saves us from suffering, from delusion, from the conditioning of samsara, you know, the word samsara, which is such a beautiful poetic word that it actually is the name of a perfume. But samsara in Sanskrit actually means the wandering, the eternal recurrence that comes about as the result of our mistake, that fundamental mistake that we all make of believing that we're separate from the divine, separate from the world around us, and separate from each other. But the reason that these texts are considered the expansion of the wisdom that saves us is because they are so practical. So the tantric texts, though they are based on a profound philosophy, and some of them are quite philosophical, they're really mostly practical. They are, most of the tantras consist of practices that are meant to expand our attitude, expand our view of life, expand our wisdom, and actually create an alchemical transformation in the way our mind, body, work with the spiritual essence at the heart of our existence. In other words, tantras are the teachings and practices that reveal oneness, the continuity between body and spirit, between the world and God, between our fundamental being and our ever-changing becoming, between samsara, the so-called mundane life, and the exalted state that the Buddhists call nirvana, between mind, the thinking mind and pure awareness, between our limited sense of self and our great self, between the particular and unique and the vast and great. So this is the aim of Tantra, and this is the aim of the Vijnana Bhairava, to constantly bring us into union, into yogic union with our great self, while, and this is really the beauty of the tantric teachings, while allowing us to fully pursue our unique destiny in the unique style that is the purpose of our incarnation, of our embodied path. So there are many different kinds of tantra. And in the contemporary Western spiritual world, there are many versions of tantra, and these versions aren't all the same, which is the beauty of tantra. It actually allows for a wealth of differences in emphasis. So we could actually say that there are many tantras. In the tantras, there are texts and practices which emphasize a kind of mastery of the physical world. And there are tantras that are really completely non-dual, that are all about merging into the absolute. There are Buddhist tantras, specifically the Vajrayana practices of Tibetan Buddhism. There's, of course, the sexual tantra that is the set of sacred sexuality practices that many people in the West think is what tantra is all about, but which is, in fact, a part of tantra. Because the kind of essence of the tantric awareness is that any part of our life can be used as a pathway to the divine, and that especially our intense experiences in life, whether they're the intense experiences of ascetic rapture, of wonder, of fear, of sexual excitation, that these practices where there's an intensity of experience are actually very powerful. powerful pathways into the divine if we know how to understand them and how to seize the core energy, the Shakti at the heart of it. So part of the beauty of Tantra as a category of practice is that it does indeed allow for so many different streams or visions. And part of the beauty of the, you know, what we could call the westward migration of these practices is that they have taken on the character of the culture in which they find themselves, because Tantra is extremely adaptable. It actually, that's one of the reasons why, you know, the Tantric sages, even as early as the 10th century, always maintained that these are the practices that are most perfectly suited for people who want to attain yogic realization while leading so-called ordinary householder lives. In other words, Tantric practices are not just for people who are able to leave the world and do full-time spiritual practice. They are very much for you and I, for those of us who have responsibilities and families and even ambitions and desires, because these practices know how to turn ordinary worldly emotions and desires into their spiritual heart. So the practices of Tantra, and especially the practices of the Vijnana Bhairava, are really radically accessible to us. But part of what is very important in approaching them is to realize that they're also very deep. And one of the tendencies of contemporary spiritual practitioners is to take a kind of Chinese menu approach to practice where, you know, we learn a technique, we practice it once or twice or for a week, and then we say to ourselves, okay, I know that one. Been there, done that with that practice, and then we move on to the next. It's a sort of pick one from column A and another one from column B and kind of mix them up. So one thing that we really want to do as we approach these practices is to realize that each one of them is a complete path in itself. In fact, Bhairava says this at one point during the text. If you take just one of these dharanas, of these practices, and do it over a period of time, that one practice will take you to the heart of reality. Every one of them has the full capacity to awaken you. So, that said, another core of the tradition and of this text is that it really is all about experimentation. You know, those of you who've studied with me know that I'm really into meditation as an experiment, into playfulness, into working with different practices, into noticing what arises in the course of meditation and allowing that innate creativity inside consciousness to really play with us. So what I want to, you know, I want to just make you aware of this kind of paradoxical quality in these practices that on the one hand, we want to give each one a chance to unfold. And on the other hand, we want to allow ourselves to experiment. So that's what we're going to be doing in this class, in this first class. I want to work with some of the more subtle and unusual practices. And then as we go on in the weeks to come, we'll come back to some of the foundational ones. So let's begin with one of the verses in the text which tells us to recognize that there is no obstruction anywhere in the flow of the divine. You know, this is an incredibly important recognition, and you know, it comes with many, many corollaries. So for example, if you understand that there's no obstruction in the flow of the divine, you can also begin to recognize that there is no experience, including this moment, that is not filled with the experience of Godness. Because that flow of grace, that flow of Shakti, that flow of divine heart-opening experience is always coming towards you, is always arising from inside you. And your job, my job, our job, is to open ourselves to that recognition. So you can once more refresh your seat, find yourself a seat that's comfortable and steady. And for this particular practice, it's actually nice to sit on a chair, to sit with your feet on the floor, because we're going to be bringing divine energies through our bodies, both horizontally and vertically. So start by creating an attitude of receptivity. As you allow the breath to flow in and out, and here we're not going to try to in any way direct the breath, just let it flow. Have the feeling, have the attitude that your breath is flowing on its own, powered by the divine energy of life itself. Feel that your inner body is magnetic, literally magnetizing, receptive to the flow of Shakti, of divine energy through the breath. Feel how the nourishing flow of divine energy in the air around you is attracted to your body, is literally making love to your body. And see if you can open yourself to experience that love flow in the breath. So the air in the room is filled with presence and love. Your meditation in this moment is to open yourself to recognizing that every particle of air that is flowing in through your nostrils is flowing in as love, flowing in as grace. And just open yourself to that feeling of being made love to by the air around you. Now begin to feel that you are drawing in the entire sphere in front of your body, in with the breath, as if the pores of your body are open, and you can simply draw in the space in front of you into your body, as though the borders of your skin are softening such that you can open to the entire space, the entire sphere in front of you. So the inhalation draws in the space in front of your body with the awareness that you're drawing in Shakti, you're drawing in divine energy in the form of that space. And as you exhale, you let that space flow back out of your body. And begin to feel now that the back of your body opens so that you're able to draw in the entire space behind you, which is permeated with divine presence, with sacred energy. Just feel yourself taking in that space, that presence from behind, and breathing it out through the back of the body. and begin to draw in the energy, the sphere, the space on the right side of your body, drawing it in through the sides, through your side body. Really opening your side body so that your inhalation draws in the sphere of energy to your right, takes it in, mingles it with the energy inside your body, and then with the exhalation, allow it to flow out. Now on the left side of your body, with the inhalation, draw the energy from the left, the whole sphere of space to the left of your body, in through the side body, and allow it to fill your inner body, and then let that space flow out with the exhalation. Now feel as though you're drawing in the energy from below your body, the earth energy, the energy that actually exists within the particles of the floor and below the floor, the foundation of the building, down to the center of the earth. Just let the whole sphere below your body flow inside, in with the breath, filling your body from below. And then let yourself breathe it back out. And begin now to breathe in the energy above your body. Breathing into the crown of your head, the energies of the higher centers, the energy of sky. Allowing it to flow in through the crown of your head and into your body down to the heart. And then allowing that energy to flow upward and outward. And see if you can feel now your entire body opening, allowing yourself to draw in energy from all sides. So that rather than feeling yourself completely separate, rather than feeling the external world as external, you begin to have a sense of the absolute interiority of everything. So your body opens to draw in the spheres of energy on all sides. And you allow those energies, that space, to enter your body with the inhalation, and then with the exhalation, breathe it back. Take a moment to really be aware of how it feels to allow yourself to open to the flow of Shakti in this universe, to begin to recognize, at least provisionally, that the boundary of your skin is actually a fiction, and that there is one energy that flows as love, as Shakti, within and through everything in this physical world. And now, with this sense of the extraordinary flow and tenderness of this energy, imagine that the Shakti that you have touched in this meditation is forming a bubble of golden light that surrounds your body on all sides, that actually forms a permeable but strong boundary. Allow this golden light to wrap itself around your body 7 times. And as you do, see if you can recognize how incredibly creative and how beautifully the Shakti that we're invoking here organizes itself so that you can naturally open your energetic borders to allow her in, and how she can form herself into a true protective light boundary which can hold you. And in this tantric practice, this tantric realization, as we practice it, we begin to realize that we can allow ourselves to breathe in that Shakti, which is at the heart of everything, open ourselves at our own will, inviting the power of the love-drenched Shakti of the universe to open us and enter us and make us realize how much larger we are than we ordinarily think. And we can also allow that Shakti to hold us in a protective embrace, so that we never feel that we're more open than we want to be. And it really is part of the grace of the Shakti that she both opens us completely and encloses us in her protection. So, as we begin our practice. I know we've already begun, but I want to set the context. Part of the process of entering into the Vijnana Bhairava is to invoke the presence of these beings whose sacred dialogue has given us these practices. Because it's incredibly important to understand that this text is a conversation between lovers. And as we start to practice with the Vijnana Bhairava, and as the different sages and teachers who have taught it have commented on it, the first thing they always say is that what we should understand is that we're overhearing a conversation about spiritual practice that is being engaged in by the ultimate couple, the two people who adore each other. Of course, they're not people. The two beings who adore each other, both as inseparable aspects of the Absolute and as a couple, as a pair of lovers. So what we can say about the Vijnana Bhairava is to recognize that this Absolute consciousness, which is the heart of everything, which we could, you know, which we could describe as the formless divine, has contracted itself into two separate beings, separated for the sake of love, separated for the sake of communication, separated for the sake of loving each other and talking to each other. Because, of course, oneness is most easily enjoyed when there's also the possibility of breaking into two-ness, really for the sake of relationship. So the two inseparable aspects of the divine, the pure consciousness aspect, which we call the divine masculine, which we call Shiva, the pure underlying beingness, the ground of being, the Shiva aspect of pure awareness, and the pulsing, dynamic love energy of the Absolute, which we call Shakti, which is the power, the creativity, the dynamic aspect of the Absolute. These two inseparable qualities of pure consciousness, awareness and energy, consciousness and love, have separated themselves. And they are manifesting on their mountaintop in the high Himalayas on a very subtle plane of consciousness, surrounded by celestial beings who have leaned in to hear the conversation that they're about to have, lying in a bed of moss, having just finished celestial lovemaking, which consists at this level of consciousness of merging into each other and then separating and merging again and separating in an extraordinary explosion of ecstasy. And in this moment, when they're lying together on the bed of moss, Shakti, the divine feminine aspect of consciousness, says to her beloved, her consort Shiva, the divine masculine, she says to him, "You know, my beloved, I've read all the texts of the tantric tradition. I've done all these practices, and I'm still a little bit confused." And as you know, the gift of knowledge comes to us when we ask the right questions. So, in other words, in order to really draw into ourselves the liberating knowledge of the Absolute, the liberating knowledge of our own path, we actually need to ask for it. We need to say, okay, here's something I don't understand. I'm willing to admit my ignorance, and in my ignorance, I ask for clarification. So she does this. She says, and she does this wonderful speech. She says, "I've practiced all the mantras, I've done all the visualizations, I'm fully fully expert in all the different forms of Tantra, but I still don't understand what is the state that is called the state of Shiva, the state of the Absolute. And she's kind of flirting with him, and he says to her, "Oh, goddess, what a great question. I know you're asking this question for the benefit of all beings, because since you are an inseparable part of myself, there is no way that you could be in ignorance of the nature of my reality. And all at this moment, all the celestial beings that are hanging around in the air perk up their ears because they know that something really profound is about to be imparted." So Shiva then says, "Well, actually, I'm going to tell you the truth. All these practices that people do, all these visualizations and mantra recitations, all these spiritual disciplines, they're very good for people with confused minds. I'm really not bad-mouthing them. But the fact is, they're minor compared to the real thing." He says that my state, the true state of self-realization, is this utter stillness, this empty fullness that arises when the mind and the ego are at rest, so that the underlying bliss of consciousness, which is really the truth about us, each of us, can reveal itself out of that stillness. He says, "The truth about my state is that I am the one who knows. I am the pure subject. I can never be known as an object." You've heard this teaching before, of course. It's really the teaching of the direct path realization, that the ultimate truth is pure subject. It can never be known as an object. It's pure light, which can never be in darkness. But then he says, however, this mysterious, unknowable state, this state that can never be approached by the mind or the senses, is actually the goddess herself. That state is you, goddess. There's no difference between you and I. We are both immersed in that absolute stillness. That mysterious state of consciousness is your own self. And then he says, and this is really the secret of the Vijnanabhairava, he says, "You, Shakti, are the doorway into that pure state of non-dual formless consciousness. No one can know the truth of their own being, which is my own being, without the help of Shakti, without the help of the goddess." And he goes on to say, "You are the energy, the dynamic power at the heart of life. It's you, the energy within form, the energy within becoming, who alone can draw the mind into stillness, who alone can draw the mind into the spacious energy beyond all forms." So in the moment that a practitioner connects to you, to the energy inside the breath, the energy inside the body, the energy behind thoughts, then you, Shakti, open the door into the ultimate stillness. And once that happens, you understand that Shakti is not different from Shiva. The energy of the self is not different from the self, any more than fire is different from the power to burn. So Shakti says, "Oh, okay, this is really interesting. So how does this work? How does it happen? How does this energy, how does my energy lead to the ultimate stillness of Shiva?" And Shiva Bhairava says, "Okay, I'm going to give you some methods. Every one of these methods is based on the Shakti, and every one of these methods ultimately will take you into that inner state." So he then goes on to give her the two fundamental basic practices of the Tantra, and there are practices that we entered into very fully on the last two teleconferences. One of them is recognizing the space between one breath and another. And the other is opening ourselves to the movement of Kundalini, the Shakti that is dormant within the body, up through the central channel. He says that the way in which realization happens for every individual is by the opening of that space between one breath and another, between one thought and another, the space between the incoming breath and the outgoing breath, the space that exists in the centers of the body when our hearts and minds have gone completely into their source. And every practice out of which realization arises is actually an entrance into this foundational space that lives between every moment of action and which is the stillness out of which all action arises. And from that understanding, he then goes on to unfold a series of practices that each in their own way invites us into that stillness. And we're going to do one now. You might like to stretch a little bit if you've been sitting. We're going to do one now that is one of the early practices that's discussed in the text that's actually extremely esoteric. But we're going to do it in a way that hopefully will be very accessible to each of you. And this practice, as many of the practices of the Vijnanabhairava, asks us to enter into the centers of the body between the heart and the topmost chakra called the Sahasrara, specifically the center that exists 8 finger widths above the crown, and to begin to become aware of the natural channel that opens up between the heart center, the center in the chest, the throat, the center at the pit of the throat, the center in the middle of the head, and the center above the head, 8 finger widths above the head. By beginning to merge the breath in this connecting channel between the heart, the throat, the center of the head, and the topmost chakra above the crown, the mind begins to turn inside and to experience stillness. So this is the practice that we're going to do, and we're going to practice it with the foundational mantra of this tradition, which is a mantra that may be very familiar to you because it's often practiced as a beginning mantra, but it is actually an incredibly powerful and esoteric, really, invocation to the inner space within which the energy called Shakti begins to open up and invite us into pure stillness. So find yourself a posture that's comfortable and upright. And with your inhalation, see if you can allow the inhalation to find the center behind the breastbone, the center of the heart. Begin by inhaling into the heart, letting the inhalation and the exhalation bring your consciousness into the heart center, in the very center of the inner body, behind the breastbone. Inhaling into the heart. Have the thought, so. And then with the exhalation, allow the breath to rise into the space in the very center of the throat, just at the pit of the throat, just where that little U-shaped bone is, with the thought, hum. But your awareness is in the center of the body. So in the heart, hum, rising from the inner heart in the center of the body up to the center of the throat, just behind that U-shaped bone that is the place where the thyroid is located. So in the heart, hum in the throat. Inhalation flows into the heart with so, and now you allow the exhalation to flow up through the throat into the very center of the head with hum, and begin to feel as though to notice that there is actually an inner pathway, again, in the center of the body that connects the heart center through the center of the throat up to the very middle of the head, just above the soft palate. Hum flowing into the heart center. So flowing into the heart center. Hum flowing up through the throat into the middle of the head. Feel as though the sound of the mantra is like a sigh. The sound of the mantra being like a very gentle fire that kindles your awareness of this channel between the heart, the throat, and the middle of the head. So into the heart, hum into the center of the head. And with the next exhalation, as you breathe so into the heart, allow the exhaling breath with hum to rise up through the crown and rise up to the space above the head. About 8 finger widths above the head, but your awareness should be able to find it. And now with the inhalation, feel the breath flowing down into the heart from that space above the crown. So flowing down into the heart. Hum flowing up through the throat, through the center of the head, to the space above the crown. perhaps you can begin to be aware that in that space above the crown, there's an open spaciousness that is like a small sun, a golden sun, a golden radiant sun. And now as the breath flows in from that place, it's drawing the golden light of the sun down through the center of your head, through the throat, into the heart, expanding in the heart with soul, and then flowing back up through the throat, through the center of the head, back up into the expanding sun over the crown with hum. Feel how the mantra, the flow of the breath, the genuine light space above the head, open a pathway between the heart and the topmost chakra. See if you can allow your awareness to simply rest in that channel flowing from the heart through the throat, the head, to the crown, drawing the light down from the crown with soul, allowing it to flow up with hum. And feel now how that light of the sun in the topmost chakra, that golden light, flows in particles down through the head, filling your face and head and neck and shoulders and throat, filling your whole upper body with its radiance. And flowing down through your lower body to your feet. Breath flows now into the heart with soul, up through the throat, the center of the head, up through the crown with hum, opening that golden sun above the head and allowing that radiance to flow down, filling your body with its light and blessing. And you can allow that energy now center itself in the heart, so hum flowing from the heart up to the center above the head and back to the heart, the mantra repeating itself, creating this open channel through which the Shakti of your heart opens to the Shakti of the upper spaces of the Sahasrara. and your awareness flows more and more comfortably with the mantra Soham. The energy rising and flowing back. And as you allow Soham to flow from the heart to the Sahasrara, and from the Sahasrara to the heart, have the feeling, I open my heart completely to the divinity that is my nature. Allow that to be a reality for this moment. So flowing into the heart, hum flowing up from the heart through the throat, through the center of the head. Opening you to the light of the inner sun. And drawing that sun down into the body. Have the sense that you're drawing the energy into the heart. Feeling that the channel between the heart and the topmost chakra, between the heart and the sun over your head. Is open now to vitalize your entire being with the light of that upper sun. And feel that your entire body, your entire being now is wrapped in, enveloped in the golden light energy of the sun, which is the sun of your higher self, which is the sun of the Shiva Shakti within your unique individual being. And allow that golden light to surround you, protect you, and hold you. Our practice for this week to come, and you'll get it as a homework assignment, is this practice of allowing the mantra, Soham, to play in the channel between the heart and the Sahasrara, and to feel that as you allow the breath to draw the sun energy down into the heart, that energy also is available to revitalize and fill your body with its particles of light. Our practice of our attitudinal practice this week is the practice of opening the heart to the experience of divinity in whatever comes towards us. In the Vijnana Bhairava, the verse that we are practicing with as an attitudinal verse is, wherever my mind and awareness goes, everywhere there is the state of the divine. So this is going to be our walking around practice. And you can, at the beginning of the day and before you sit for meditation, and I'm going to ask you to sit for meditation for at least 15 minutes every day. You can do it in the morning or in the evening or at whatever time you can find, but really try and practice for at least 15 minutes every day, allowing the mantra Soham to flow between the heart and the Sahasrara, the sun of the Sahasrara. And before meditation, bring that circle of golden light around yourself, both as a protection and as a way of really feeling the creative power of your own awareness, the way in which when your awareness joins with the Shakti that is intrinsic to it, you can allow both openness and protection in your own field. It's the great tantric understanding that we have the power to open ourselves to the divine as it flows through every moment of our life, because we also have the power to invite that Shakti to form a bubble, a circle of protection around us. So, Debbie will send you the invitation and the information about joining the listserv, which is a part of this class. And you can ask your questions on the listserv. I will answer questions. And the listserv also allows other people to give their wisdom, and any of you who want to share. And you can receive the listserv both as, you can receive it every day, or you can receive a kind of summary if you prefer to have fewer emails, and Deb, you can let Deb know which you prefer. And also, if you would like to have a study partner, someone to actually be your conversational partner during the course, you can send a note to Deb and she will find someone for you as a partner. Normally when we have a study partner, we meet over the phone and just find a time when you're both free to talk on the phone, probably once a week. is enough. And many people find that there's a very powerful connection and helpful communication that happens when you're discussing your practice and the things that are going on in your life during the class. There's a note on the private area of the website that it talks about how to work with a partner. And during the homework, in the homework assignment that will come to you tomorrow, there will also be suggestions about a question that you can speak with your partner about if you choose to work with a partner. Next week, we'll actually have time for a Q&A together. This week, I wanted us to focus really on the meditation. And I very much invite your questions to me on the website, on the listserv. Have a beautiful week. We'll be talking. And those of you who are tuning in on the MP3 download, blessings and love to all of you as well. So in this moment, as we part, we open our hearts completely to the experience of divinity, which is flowing every moment as particles of love and light and presence, flowing through the transmission of Shiva Shakti and the Vijnana Bhairava, and flowing through your intention and through the shared intention of this beautiful Sangam. Again, have a beautiful evening and a beautiful week. Namaste and good night.